I mean, when we stop and look at what's on television and everything else today, wow, if I was God, I wouldn't be happy with this country. You know, I mean, there ain't nothing on there that glorifies Him. You know, so, and we're taking Him out of everything. You know, we don't want God in nothing. And those of us that are Christians that say we are, we don't stand our ground. We don't talk to somebody. Somebody tells us we can't talk about Jesus in the workplace. Well, okay, I don't want to lose my job. Who are you afraid of, God or man? You know, well, I ain't afraid of man at all. But I am definitely afraid of the king. You know, I mean, the king, all he's got to do is say, okay, if that's the way you think, I'm taking you out. And he could just take me out in one heartbeat. I enjoy living, you know, and I enjoy living a good, healthy life. I don't want no sickness and disease. You know, I want to walk with him and obey him. But, you know, there's some serious things happening. Somebody else had a statement? Okay, but the Lord, the man will die for lack of self-control, and he will be lost because of his incredible folly. So I don't know about being lost. If this talks about in other places where we'll get to some of these here in the book of Proverbs. But I shudder to think about the security of the believer that we think we have in Christ. We think we can walk down the aisle in a church and say we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, and then we don't ever have to come back to church unless maybe we feel good. Or if we want to go out and live like we want to, or sleep in with somebody else, or do whatever we want to do, that's okay. I'm a Christian. It's okay with God. I'm going to tell you, that's not the way I read this book. This book says when I come to know Christ as my Lord and Savior, I'm to become a new creature. All my old wicked ways are to go away. And I'm to stop sinning and walk holy before God. That's what the book says. And since we don't do that, and we're not taught that, I wasn't taught that either by a long shot, and I've been in church all my life, I now know why we had so much sickness and disease in our churches. I had a man one time that come sat down with me for hours one night, and he and I remember sitting in the dark in my study with him, and we're talking about something, and I won't go into detail, but this man was one of our deacons, and I told him, I said, you know, you need to give up that stuff that you're doing, and you need to start walking holy before God. You need to give up everything except God. And we prayed and everything, but I don't know what he did after that. All I know is a very few months after that, that man was dead, and he was only a 35-year-old young man. So I don't know what he did, but God knows everything. So, you know, all I can say is love the king and serve him.
This is something that the Lord showed me today is that, you know how communion, the Lord is the bread and his body, and that's healing. And when there was a certain woman that asked the Lord for healing, and he said, well, that's the children's bread. And she said, well, even the dogs eat the crumbs. And so much of the church isn't taught that we're not the dogs. We're adopted. We're not the orphans.
That's right, yeah.
But we keep acting like we're the orphans. Oh, give me a crumb. You know, please, please, please. Yeah. An inheritance belongs to the children.
Absolutely.
The children's bread. He's the bread of life.
Amen. He most definitely is. And we are his children. And we as children of God are supposed to start obeying what he says. When he tells us to do something, we are to do it. You know, we're to submit to authority. You know, every one of us. Submit to the king and his words and do what he says. And, of course, this the next one in chapter 6 is some lessons for daily life. My child, these are some good rules to go by. My child, if you co-sign a loan for a friend or guarantee the debt of someone you hardly know, if you have trapped yourself by your agreement and are caught by what you said, quick, get out of it. How many times do you know somebody co-signed for somebody and maybe you didn't know them very well, or maybe you did know them pretty well, but let me tell you, for me to co-sign on a note with you, I'm going to know who you are and what you're made out of. I guarantee I am not, in fact, I just... There ain't very many people in this world I'd put my name on a note with them. You know, and if you want to keep yourself, out of troubles. Because guess what happens? If, let's say, you co-sign just for something little, or like a car, maybe a used car, maybe it's only $5,000 or $10,000, and then they back out on the deal, and you wind up having to pay $8,000 of that $10,000 because you're a man of integrity, you got to pay for that car. And you know how easy it is for you to get into unforgiveness towards that person? Because, you know, like I say, the only time that I would co-sign for somebody is if I had more money and I knew what to do with, and I knew if they didn't, maybe they didn't pay one single payment, and I had to pay for the whole thing, I'd say, no big deal. I got the money, you know, I want to give it away like that, that's my deal. But if I am running close, and that's where nearly everybody lives, you know it? Nearly everybody just barely makes enough money to pay their own bills. In fact, I'm going to tell you, if the world was to fall apart today, if something happened, the average person, in fact, here a while back, I was flying back on an airplane and I sat beside a guy that was a professor in a university. And he was asking me, did I have any investments? And I told him, sure, I have invested. And I said, yeah, I'm okay. I've got, he said, could you live at the same standard that you're living at now while you're working? And this is when I was still working as an engineer. I told him, yes. With the investments I had and the money I had in them, I said, my home, everything I have paid for, yes. I would not have a problem living at the same standard I'm living in. He said, you're one in less than 3% of the total population of America. He said that less than 3% of the population of America will be able to live that standard when they retire. He said 70% of the people in America right now have less than 1 week's salary in the bank. If you make $1,000 a week, and said 70% of you have less than $1,000 in the bank to your name, and you got house payments, and I've lived there. I used to live like that. You know, I was one of those kind of people. But he tells me here, don't co-sign for anybody, you know, unless you're willing to lose it. If you've been trapped yourself by an agreement and are caught by what you said, quick, get out of it. Get out of it if you possibly can. Well, how can you prevent that ever happening? Don't co-sign for anybody. Somebody comes up and says, I've just got to have this or that, or I got to have this car or whatever, this house or this apartment. Will you co-sign for me? No. No, not me. I'm not signing. So don't come and ask me to sign for you something. I ain't going to do it. I'm not going to have that hanging over my head. And if you're smart, you're not going to do it either. Now then, it says, you have placed yourself at your friend's mercy when you do that. Now swallow your pride and go and beg to have your name erased, if it takes that. But the way you can prevent that from happening, don't sign that note in the first place. Then you don't ever have to worry about it. Don't put it off. Do it now. Don't rest until you do. Save yourself like a deer escaping from a hunter, like a bird fleeing from a net. In other words, just don't do it. Don't co-sign for somebody on a note. You know, if your family, you know, and you got to have something, and you got a mother or a father or something, and they can help you, maybe that's okay. You want to sign or do something for one of your children? Hey, you got a little bit closer relationship there with a relative that close, a family member. That's totally up to you. But somebody you really don't know, you don't know what they're made out of, don't co-sign a note for somebody. If you do, be ready to lose it. And if you lose it, then don't get in a grudge. Because if you get into a grudge with them, you know what the scripture says? If you die with unforgiveness in your heart, it says if you haven't forgiven that person, God can't forgive you. And if God don't forgive you, I have a real problem believing he's going to let you in his heaven. Don't you? So I ain't going there. I ain't going to take that chance. Then he tells you, take a lesson from the ant. I used to sit out as a farm boy. I'd watch the red ants out there working and the trails they'd do and everything like this. And I'd see those little ants would pick up big old pieces of stuff and carry them. In fact, I think about this when I think about an ant. I think about this little girl, especially when I think about you back there with your contact lens you was talking about a while ago, how you was watering them, oiling them down so they'd be smooth and slick. This girl was out on a mountain trail, and she got one of her lens knocked out and lost one lens. And, of course, out there on that mountain trail, was no way at night they could find it. So they went on up the trail and did what they did, and then they came back down the next morning. And that night while they was up there, she was telling, I think it was her dad, and he said, well, let's pray. God will show us where that lens is tomorrow. You know about where you lost it, don't you? Sure. So the next day, they prayed and asked the Lord to find the lens for them, you know, or show them where it was. So the next day on the way down, she said, well, right here, Dad, this is where I was at last night when I lost it. And Dad's walking around looking, and all of a sudden he looks down there and there's a great big old ant. And that ant has got that contact lens holding it up, and he reaches down and takes that lens away from that ant. Now, what can God do? He can do anything. You know, I can think of another man I know that his daughter lost one out in the grass one night, in the grass, you know, and she come in and said, Daddy, I've lost a contact lens. He said, first thing let's do is pray. It's a very wise daddy. So they prayed, and then he went out there, and he took a flashlight and began to get down close to the ground and shine that light across her. And all he said, hey, honey, right over yonder. There was a little reflection right yonder. Walk over there. And there was that contact lens laying right up on top of a blade of grass. And she found it. Now, when you pray, what can happen after you pray? Everything's possible after you pray. If you don't pray, you may never find it again. But even if you pray, God can even bring an ant to bring it back to you. I mean, He's just rather good, isn't He? I mean, God is so awesome. If we would only get a hold of the fact that He's God, and as long as we obey Him, as long as we please Him, what will He do for us? Anything we ask Him for.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with the teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.